Simeon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth besides, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. It was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will flee but this once. Let me prove, I say thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. God did so that night, but it was dry upon the fleece only. There was dew on all the ground. Men seem to act as though God is so hard to get something from. You've got to twist his arm, drain something out of it. Why, God is more ready to give than we are to receive. And here is Gideon. Notice what he said after he put the fleece on once. In verse 39, and Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Lord, I'm going to ask you the second time. Gideon, you could have said, Go on after. And that's true with us. We feel as though we're imposing upon God when God loves to hear our voice and loves to answer our prayer. Now, our subject tonight is the fleece. In other words, I've heard some very interesting things in my life about putting out the fleece. Young Christians are very apt to do this. Well, Lord, if you want me to do so and so, if you want me to go someplace, I'm going to put out the fleece. Well, just what they mean by that, in some cases, it's pretty hard to find out. Lord, if I do this, will you do that? I heard of one preacher say, he said, he was a young man, and he had thoughts of getting married. He said, Lord, if two souls get saved tonight in the meeting, I'll take it for granted that Nellie is the one to be my wife. Well, two souls were saved. I wouldn't put that priest out. I wouldn't ask God to save 100. No. In other words, the point is this. I don't know whether he got the right one or not. I'd like to talk to him now. That's been about 30 years ago. But anyway, putting out preachers for matters of that kind. I think you should pray about a partner. I believe that with all my heart. But I believe there are other ways to ascertain the will of God than just putting out the preachers in a matter of this kind. And yet you haven't here. But I believe that all is connected with something very, very serious. Something very important. God never gives a sign to confirm or satisfy unbelief. He never gives a sign or does something just for curiosity's sake or to entertain, no, or to amuse. And so here we find Gideon when he's asking for a sign. And it's a very serious situation. He says, Lord, are you going to really deliver the enemy into my hands? You know how weak I am, how incapable. And tell it either that you're going to use a poor person like me, a man like me, to deliver thy people Israel. Yes, says God. Maybe that. Well, Lord, that's kind of hard for me to take in. Lord, excuse me, but do you mind if I put the piece out again? I want to be doubly sure of this. God said, all right. And so he did. It was something very serious. And I do believe there are times when we're confronted with something that's really serious. It involves the glory of God. It involves our life. And I believe God will respond when we prove him. And he does love to have us prove it. But you know the Jews, the Bible says, the Jews seek a sign. But the Greeks, they seek after wisdom. But Paul says, although the Jews seek a sign, you can't satisfy them unless you show them a sign. Perform some miracle or something. Then they believe. And then they wouldn't allow. He says, the Jews seek a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified.
unto the Jews of stumbling block, unto the Greek foolishness. In other words, the Jews, they just wanted some supernatural sign of evidence before they would believe.
Remember, they came to the Lord on one occasion and asked him to perform some kind of a miracle. And he says, "Ye generation of vipers, he speaks very strong to them, a wicked and adulterous generation.
You seek after a sign, and there shall be no sign given you."
There's the sign of the prophet Jonas, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, even so shall the Son of God be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of you. God has already given you all the signs you're going to get. You just want to be entertained.
All kinds of miracles have been performed. The dead have been raised. The blind have been made to see. The dumb have been made to speak. The lame have been made to walk. You've seen the 5,000 fed. 4,000 more fed. You've seen sign after sign and evidence after evidence, and yet you won't believe.
And there'll be no more.
Except you see signs and wonders, he will not believe.
You know, people are about that unbelieving today. They want some great phenomenal or some supernatural event before they believe God. Well, we're living in the day when you do read this book or else. It's not a case of supernatural signs today. God has been giving evidences right down the centuries of his existence and of his presence and of his interest in the human race and his provision for man's salvation. There needs to be no more such supernatural signs. God says, "You take my naked word and believe it or perish." That's it. But coming back now to the Christian, you know, even the Lord Jesus knew signs. The disciples said, "What time will it be at the end of the time?" And you know, in that chapter, he spoke about the fig tree. Did you see that fig tree? And he uses that fig tree and said, "Now, when the fig tree buds, you know that summer is now."
So when you see all these things that I've been talking about, know that it is here,
that is the end is near, even at the door. He was speaking about the nation of Israel reviving.
The nation of Israel coming again to life. And he says, when you see all these things happening, know that it is near,
even at the door, the coming of Christ is very close. I think we're living in those days. In May 15, 1948, the fig tree budded. That nation that had been scattered and peeled for centuries was under the heel of the ruthless Turk, the land of Palestine, the desert. We've seen Israel go back to her homeland. She now has her own university. She now has her own parliament, her own government. She has many other things. She's recognized as a nation among the family of nations. A luxury she has not known for 5,400 years. And God said in the latter days, Israel shall return to her land and become a nation. And to go back to her land in more or less preparation for the reception of her king, which is Christ, during the coming of her king is near. Christ says, when you see the fig tree budding, you'll know.
Then you see Israel coming to life, because when a tree begins to bud, you know spring's here. There's going to be fruit. There's evidence of life. Sap has come up soon. While nothing was doing during the winter, now there's signs of life. The fig tree is budding.
God says that nation has been dead for many centuries. Scattered over the earth, in the latter days you'll see life. Life. Today that nation is back in the land. And she's ready, waiting for her kids. It's 15 and 8. Here is Abraham. Abraham had just won the mighty victory. And it's strange to say that although Abraham had won this mighty victory, defeating those kings, the king, he became somewhat afraid and depressed after that victory. God opens chapter 15 of Genesis with these words, "Fear not, Abraham, for I am thy shield and thine exceeding great reward." No fear, Abraham. No danger. You're no loser. Fear not. I'll protect you.
I am thy shield.
Don't worry about any danger approaching.
I am thy exceeding great reward.
I'll reward you, Abraham.
And through God is encouraging Abraham. God says, Abraham, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you a son, and I'm going to give you a seed, and I'm going to give you some soil. I'm going to give you a son. Abraham says, that's impossible. I'm too old, and Sarah's too old. God says, I'm going to give you a son. And furthermore, I'm going to give you a seed from that son. God says, look to the heavens and see the stars. So shall I see thee. Later on, he said, the sand upon the seashore. That's how numerous your posterity is going to be, Abraham. And Abraham, furthermore, I'm not only going to give you a son and give you a seed, a posterity that no man can number, I'm going to give you some soil, the very land upon which you stand. I'm going to give you the land of Canaan. It's tired, old Abraham. He says, Lord, what time will you show me? Give me some evidence. It's hard for me to believe that such wonderful things are going to happen to me. Will you not give me some proof? Yes, God says I will. For Abraham says, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit all these things? What evidence do I have? What assurance? What sign? Not just I'll give you a sign. Take five living creatures and cut them all in pieces, except the birds, and lay them in a row, in rows. They're all cut up now, they're in pieces. And remember, Abraham, that a horror of great darkness is going to descend upon those creatures. And he says the birds of the air are going to come down and try and feed upon the flesh. God says there shall be a lamp passing between those parts. And eventually he said, I'm going to come in. And the day will dawn. And I'll bring Israel up out of Egypt into the promised land. Now that seems strange to read, and yet it's beautiful. What are those parts? God says, that's Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel know how they're going to suffer. Because when you slay those animals, it means the animals suffer. And Israel as a nation is going to suffer. It's going to be a gloomy future and a dark, dark destiny, full of terror and darkness. And the birds of prey are coming down, Abraham. The Egyptians and other nations are going to come down and try and feed off my people, your seed that I've been reminding you of. But God says, I'm going to take care of them all. You see that lamp that's passing between those parts? And all day the day is dark and gloomy. And horror seems to settle upon the nation because of what she's passing through and her suffering. God says, I'm going to be there. The lamp passing between those parts. The lamp speaks of the Spirit of God, the presence of God. And God says, I'm going to bring you up out of Egypt. Out from that darkness and dreariness and slavery and bondage into your own land. God says, I'm going to save you. And I'm going to shelter you. I'm going to save you. Now that seems a strange thing. But you see, God gave Abraham that experience. He gave him that evidence, that sign of what he was going to do. So God has often done it, but as I've already pointed out, it's only when something very important is at stake that God will do it. Remember, God said to Israel later on, prove me now, herewith saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven for and pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to receive. But God had said something just before that. The text I've only preached on once in my life, and that was here at the chapel. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And prove me herewith, saith the Lord. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, you will not be able to receive. I don't know why God is blessing us here at the chapel. This year, I think there's been 8 already such Christ. He's not blessing us because of what we are, because of us. He's blessing us in spite of us. There certainly is not enough prayer going up. I said to one of the brethren before the meeting tonight, I said, why is God blessing? It's only His mercy and His grace. We are not giving God what belongs to Him. Far short. And if we're seeing the blessing we are seeing, what would happen if only God's people got stirred up and awakened? And met the conditions as laid down in that verse. Give themselves under prayer and give otherwise. That's as far as I want to say, but should be enough. The great things in store if God's people will get down to business. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. I will not open the windows of heaven for you out of blessing. You'll not be able to contain. But he said before that, you need to commit. Now, the over in Ahaz, in Isaiah chapter 7, God said to Ahaz, he said, ask for me a sign, Ahaz. Ask me a sign of what I'm going to do. Ahaz says, no, I won't. That was one man that refused to ask the sign. All right, God says, I'm going to do it anyway. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. God was going to give his son hundreds of years before he came. He said, Ahaz, I want you to ask the sign of me of what I'm going to do. Ahaz wouldn't. Read it yourself in the 7th of Isaiah. I think God kind of appreciated that on the part of Ahaz. God says, well, I'm going to tell you anyway what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my son, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. But what is the do here? God said, this man Gideon said to God, if you're going to deliver Israel by my hand, he said, I'm going to put out a bunch of fleece. And he said, if in the morning the fleece is full of dew and all the ground round about is dry, then I'll know you're going to deliver Israel by my hand. God said, all right. The next morning, Gideon got up, and he got a hold of that piece of fleece, and he wrung the dew out a bowl full of water. What does the dew speak of? The dew undoubtedly speaks of the Spirit of God. You have plenty of scriptures to that end. God says, I will be as the dew unto Israel. How wonderful that was. I will be as the dew unto Israel. The blessing of God through the Spirit. And what did Isaac say to Jacob? God give thee of the dew of heaven. And so the dew speaks of the blessing of God through the Spirit. And here is Gideon. No doubt it's referring to the nation as well as himself personally, because I think the fleece could suggest Israel shorn of her beauty by her enemies. Oh, how the enemies had shorn for Israel. We notice that in our first sermon. How the enemies came down, the Midianites. They took away their cattle, they took away everything they had, and they just more or less stripped Israel. Israel was torn of all the blessings of God. Not only was she torn, she was dry. You know what it says about the Lord Jesus? He was a root out of the dry ground. Christ came up out of the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel gave us the Savior. And he was a living root. And he came out of a dry nation. Dry ground. Israel shorn of all the blessings of God by her enemies. And Israel dry. The fleece. The dry fleece. And the dry ground. Do speak all God's blessings upon his people. The time's going to come, says God. I'm going to bless my people. I'm going to bless them spiritually. But Gideon, before I'm going to bless them, I'm going to bless you. You'll be blessed first, and then the nation will be blessed. There's no relative to the Jews. It falls in the night. You never yet went out after a windy night and saw dew on the ground. When the wind is blowing strong, you don't see any dew. Dew falls in the stillness. That's when the dew comes up. What does your Bible say? Be still and know that I'm God. If you want to know the blessing of God, try the Spirit in your heart and life. Know something of being still before the Lord. Be still and know, says God. and the dew falls in the stillness of the night.
You might say that the night speaks of the absence of our Redeemer. Christ left this scene 1900 years ago, and it's an awfully dark little thing. But he's coming back again. The Bible speaks of his return as the bright from the morning star, and then the Son of Righteousness arises. He tells us as Christians to walk as lights in the midst of the darkness. This world is dark. It's getting darker by the day. We as Christians are lights in the midst of the darkness, but we need, if we're to be effective witnesses, the truth of the Spirit's presence in our life. The Spirit of God is just here during Christ's absence. When Jesus Christ was here on earth, he blessed the people. But when he, humanity, glorified humanity, went into the presence of deity in the person of the Holy Spirit came down to abide in the hearts and lives of humanity. Christ said, I'll send the Spirit when I go up. I'm going up to my Father's right hand, and when I do, I won't leave you comfortless. I'll send the Spirit. He'll be with the church right through the dark night. And for 1900 years, the Spirit of God has been here. You know, when the sun rises in the morning, the dew disappears. And when Jesus comes back again, the Spirit of God will no longer be here as he is today. He's seen back in heaven in Revelation chapter 4, after the church is taken to heaven at the end of chapter 3. The dew is here during the night. The night of Christ's absence. How wonderful to know the peace and the quiet of the Spirit's indwelling during this dark, dark day. The days are growing darker, but the Christian, who knows what it is to be saved by the grace of God and have all his sins forgiven, can enjoy the presence and the power of the Spirit of God in his own heart and life. Be still and know this. You're not going to know the Spirit's due upon your soul. You're not going to know that refreshment that comes just as refreshing as the dew. You're not going to know the blessing of God's presence in your heart in the busy rush of life. No, you can't enjoy the Spirit's presence there. It means early in the morning or when you get home at night to go into your room and spend the quiet time. Get alone with God. I know it's hard with a house full of young. It's very difficult. But I'll tell you one thing. When they all get to bed, you slip off and say, I'm going to have a quiet time. I'm going to get my Bible. I'm going to read a chapter or two. And I'm going to try and digest it, absorb it. I'm going to say, Lord, speak to thy servant. Speak to me. What is there in this chapter for me? And bow your head and pray over what happened during the day. And the things you need, that's if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you better pray, God be merciful to me, the sinner, and get saved. But if you're a child of God, all that quiet time, maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you'll find the dew beginning to descend. You'll find your heart calming and quieting in his presence. As all the excitement and the nervousness, the irritability of the day, begins to subside as the Spirit of God descends upon your heart. The dew falls during the night, but only in the stillness, the quiet. Now, I'll tell you one thing, you can't experience the Spirit's presence looking at the TV and about 4 or 5 lobsters throwing one another around the ring. Everybody shouts and hollers, and don't think the Spirit's going to descend on occasion like that. Or a lot of other foolishness. That's not the quietness that the Spirit of God is looking for to bless human hearts. It means to get alone with God with your Bible if you want to know the Spirit's refreshment. The dew falls in the night. Then again, you know, he asked for a blessing not only upon himself, but he asked for a blessing upon Israel. He said, Lord, you bless me now.
The dew was full of, or the fleece was full of dew. But he said, the ground's awfully dry. And what you've done for me, the blessing you have given to me, I'd like to see Israel blessed. Lord, I'm going to put the fleece out once more. And this time, let the fleece be dry. And let all the ground be moist. Wet the sea. The next morning when Gideon got up, the fleece was dry, but the ground all around was soaked with dew. The blessing that was in Gideon went out to the nation. That's the way it is. In order to speak of this in a dispensational way, which is beautiful, the Jewish nation was blessed of God, even after this experience. Although she was dry, yet God did bless her when the gospel began to be preached to the Jew first. They experienced some of the blessing of God, but Israel soon dried up. As a nation, they dried up. And then under Titus, Jerusalem was destroyed 70 years A.D. The blessing went out to the Gentiles. The peace became dry, and the gospel preached to the Gentiles all over the world. And that one nation remained awfully dry while the blessing of God flowed to the nation, and the gospel went out to all kindred, tongues, people, and nations. The blessing that was sent first to Israel, and Israel rejected when she rejected Jesus Christ, it went out to all the world. How wonderful are the ways of God. And so, here are these two signs given to Gideon. First, the fleece was soaked with dew, the ground was dry, and then it was reversed. The dew was dry, and the ground was wet. I want to apply this way, Christian. Many a time I've set up on Sunday morning in my life, especially a number of years ago when I was in campaign work, I couldn't take it now. Get up Sunday morning and drive 150 miles and preach 7 times. When I got back to my room, I was like what they call a wet rag. In the morning, I was fresh. At night, I could hardly walk. I wouldn't say a wet rag, I'd say a dry rag. I was just all in. Yes, that morning, I was like the fleece. I was wet with dew, but the dew was wrung out during the day. That night I was as dry as could be, but others had been blessed. People had been saved. And what God had given to me, it had passed on to them. People had trusted Christ. God's people had been lifted up. And so, in the evening, I was the one that was tired and weary, but I had been the best. And I wasn't complaining, I was delighted. Never in my life am I happier than when I go to bed tired up, having looked back upon the day, reflecting upon the day that I've been able to do something for God, the more I can do, the better. Fresh and happy and strong and vigorous in the morning, at night weary and tired. But other people have been blessed. The dew that was on the beach in the morning, it's on others at night.